Okay, and welcome to another edition of the Technology Geek Podcast. And we, as always, are trying to bring you the best quality show we can. And today we have one of the hottest women in entertainment, one of the number one comedians in the New York area. Caitlin Bailey is back with us again today.
I am so happy that I was within your budget, Brandon. I really can't overstate how thrilled I am to be here today.
Yes, you were within your budget. Within my budget, my producers, my managers, you know, everybody was able
to
get
the best show that you can afford.
That's right. We're like the Tonight Show. We only get the best here.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
We're like Ed Sullivan. Those of you that don't know who that is, that's a very dated reference. Ask your grandparents or your parents if you don't know what that is.
If you're still on speaking terms with them, I mean.
Well, yeah. So we have, Caitlin was nice enough to join us again. It's been a while actually since we had a guest on the show. We've been doing a lot of question and answer stuff lately, but Caitlin's a friend of mine. And the reason why she's joining us is she's got some stuff going on in my area around here up in the Philly area. What do you got going on now?
Yeah, I'm bringing the Cake Comedy Tour to Philadelphia. We're doing a tour, Philly to Charleston, and we're trying to do a new thing. It might actually appeal to your technology listeners. We are trying to reverse the order of booking. So I'm trying to sell tickets before we book a venue, because I don't want to go to a town that doesn't want to see us. So we're selling tickets right now for the Cake Comedy Tour. And if we sell enough, then the show happens. And if not, then it doesn't.
It's like a Kickstarter kind of thing.
Yeah. We've teamed up with Kickstarter to work on this model. It's not a traditional model. Like, we're not asking for donations. We just want you to buy tickets super in advance. Yeah.
And we've actually talked about this with somebody else, too. Amanda Palmer. I'm not sure if you're familiar with who
she is. Yeah, I know her.
Kind of same kind of thing where they sell the tickets before. The people buy it, they do the show. If not, they don't. I mean, it's a great business model. I mean, people want you, they pay. If they don't.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And the problem, I mean, I've been touring with these girls for 4 years now, all over the country. We've done like almost 70 cities. It's been amazing. But we'll like sell out San Francisco, LA, Seattle, Portland, and then bomb in like Ashland, Oregon, because we just didn't get the word out about our show. So this takes care of that problem in advance, that we know that if we get like publicity, we tend to sell out, but we solve for that problem before we buy plane tickets, book a hotel, print merch, get in the car. You know, we don't want to go somewhere that's not gonna work out for us.
Well, this podcast will actually the local radio station plays it late on Saturday, so it won't air this Saturday, but they air at like 1-2 in the morning Saturday night. So you actually get some local exposure from that as well.
That'll be great. Yeah, if you're in the Philly area, go ahead and buy tickets. You can get them at cakecomedy.com.
Yep. Yeah, and that's really neat. You know, a lot of places are going to this business model now. A lot of people are. It's like the new trend almost.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to understand, like, artists are working with margins. Like, if I end up losing $40 on a show instead of making, you know, like $150 on a show, that means I can't buy things I need. Like, it's, you know, it's like we're just sort of scrounging around here at this level of artistry. This is not a problem that Kanye West is having, but it's a problem that like smaller tours and traveling bands are having, that like, you know, you expect to sell a certain number of tickets, and if you don't hit that threshold, then you can't replace your microphone. Like, it's a, you know, it's a big deal. So we're trying to reduce the risk of touring.
Now, have you ever tried anything like Patreon or anything like that? Because I know that's a popular thing right now.
No, I haven't tried that. I love Kickstarter. We got started with a Kickstarter campaign, like in the traditional way, where it was like, donate to make our dreams come true. And now that we've been touring for 4 years, it's like, how can we use this model to help us reach the next level?
Now you say you're also touring with other girls. Who are the other ones you're touring with, too, by the way?
Absolutely. So it's Cake Comedy, and it's Carrie Gravenson, Abby Crutchfield, Caitlin Bailey, that's me, and Aaron Judge, and our initials spell Cake.
That's actually really cool. Funny story, when my dad, his brother had an entertainment business called Lippity Doodah, Lip for Lipani, which is my last name, D for Joey D, and Doodah for the guy's last name was actually Doodah. So their entertainment company was Lippity Doodah.
I feel like I remember that movie.
Yeah, it was actually pretty fun. I was like, yeah, that was the name of their production company because it just word fit perfectly. It was like that's pretty.
Yeah, weird. It works out.
Yeah,
but, oh, that's great.
Yeah, but what's really neat about you saying that though, like you said, is with people don't realize artists, you know, they're running on such small margins. Yes. You know, it is such a thing, and even on this type of platform with podcasting, you know, we could, you know, if it wasn't for people, you know, clicking on the ads on the pages or listening to our ads or donating or buying a premium membership to the site, you know, it'd be tough to keep doing this, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, there are costs and benefits to that, right? Like, it's great that there really aren't any gatekeepers anymore. That's fantastic. And also, there aren't the resources that come with those gatekeepers. Like, instead of having to convince one dude at Comedy Central to finance a tour, I have to convince every audience member to come and participate in this tour. But I think if this works, it's going to be the model moving forward. We're going to be asking people to buy tickets months in advance. You know, a minimum. We'll obviously sell tickets up until the show and until we sell out. But we need to hit a minimum threshold to like guarantee that we're coming to your town.
Yeah, and I think that is a great model. What you do is at the end of when we're done tonight, go ahead and tweet me the link and I'll include it in the show notes for all the shows we're going to throw this on and all that.
Totally.
And this week.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, you know, that's why I'm doing this. You know, one thing I really like about our podcast is we try to support the other artists. We've had Reapers on here, which is a very local band. We try to keep a lot of the local artists on here. One, because they come on for free, but two,
cool.
Because,
yep.
Yeah, but two, because, you know, let's be real about one thing. You know, like you said, you know, Kanye, one, isn't going to come on here. And two, he doesn't need the publicity. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, I mean, they've got, you know. But the other thing, too, one thing that we've always never done is any bands we've had on this show, we will not get. I really won't have a band on if they have a record label. They don't need the publicity. The label's going to push them. They don't need us. You know, the indie artist is the one that needs the help.
Yeah, support indie arts. I think that's a bipartisan issue. We can all get behind. Give your local artists money.
That's
because
right.
They need it, and it makes society better, and everyone's happier. And, you know, it's great.
Yeah, it's funny part is I laugh because, like, and we were talking about this the other day with a couple guys that work at the studio with me. We'll get into Caitlin. It's been a while since Caitlin's been on, so we'll talk about a couple things that have changed with us and some of the things she was up to the last time we were here. But one of the things we were laughing about was we were building the studio and stuff like that. I said, I remember years ago, if you wanted to do something like this, you had to find a radio station that would be willing to put you on the air.
Or just break into a radio station.
You would have to probably, I remember doing radio shows when I first got out of college and I was doing media and stuff like that. I remember my first show I was on from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. Okay.
Oh, God.
And the funny part is my father and mother, who I can't complain. They supported me and everything I've ever done as far as out of college and all that. But my father just said to me, he goes, I got to tell you, Brian, being on at 3 a.m. is almost as bad, if not worse, as not having a show.
Right? Yeah. I mean, think about it. Think about not having a show, how amazing it would be to not have to be somewhere from 3 to 5 a.m. Did you, like, just drink until 2 and then show up at 3 and, like, just try to make it work or not?
Honest, oh my God, we used to do open lines at, like,
Oh my God.
Oh, my God. The people that used to call in at, like, 3 in the morning were like, oh, my God. Like, you know, the bar closed hours ago, you know?
And think about how far we've come. My boyfriend does a podcast that he records on his phone with, like, a little attachment, and he just does these, like, random interviews throughout the day. So, like, we were in a cab, and he, like, interviewed our cab driver, and then we were, like, hanging out, and he just, like, interviewed this homeless woman while we were waiting for the subway. I mean, it was, like, it's just, but, you know, it's just one attachment, hit a button, fucking record. We're all walking around with as much, if not more, movie-making capacity than they had in the third. I mean, like, this is crazy. We can all the sky's the limit. Just go make your thing and beg people to pay for it, because we've all gotten too used to free shit.
You're doing great with that no cursing thing, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. That free stuff. It's great. It's great.
And you dropped an F-bomb.
Content, you monsters. What?
You dropped an F-bomb a minute ago.
I did? I didn't even notice. It just flies out of my mouth. I was talking to my friend the other day. I feel like comics are this very special breed of people where it's almost like we've gone feral. Like, we're not really of the, like, regular people. Like, we're a little, it's like bringing a wild animal into a restaurant. It's just a little uncomfortable.
But you're sort of right, though. The comics are the very few people that could say what's on their mind and just say, yeah, I'm working on material. It's a great excuse.
Yeah, whatever.
That's why I said that, you know? It's great, you know? It's let me tell you, that's one thing I do have to say I don't want to get too much into politics. I want to kind of keep it tech related, but
if Trump was building his hour, I'd be 100% on board. If that's like what we were watching, was Trump building his hour, I'd be like, yes, absolutely. This should exist in the universe. The problem is the skill set needed to be an amazing comedian and the skill set needed to be like, I don't know, the leader of the free world. They're different skill sets. And you and I can disagree on this, but yes, Trump shares an ethos that comics share, which is just let it fly out of your mouth and deal with the consequences later. Might not be what you're looking for in a president, but you know, who knows?
Let me tell you, I have to say one thing. There's a comedian I really like, and he had me hysterical because he said to me, he's a friend of mine. He hasn't been on the show yet. We were talking about him coming. Anyway, he said to me, he goes, I have pretty much guaranteed 4 years of quality material for the next 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, if I don't end up in a camp for, you know, uppity women, I'm sure it'll be fun.
Well, you're sitting in one of your internment camps.
Hey, my West Village apartment is fucking amazing. You're right. I'm sorry. This might just get marked explicit and it's going to be all my fault. I'm sorry. This is going to be but I love my apartment. You can't pour sugar on my apartment. What's an alternative? Anyway, I'm trying to cut. Anyway, don't knock my apartment. It's great.
Yeah, it's a typical New York apartment. You know, it's
shower in the kitchen. This is real. So this is the only sink that exists. That's the shower. And then you see behind me, there's my stove, because we are in my kitchen right now.
But that's New York.
New York. Please buy tickets to the Kate Comedy Tour so I can, you know, take a shower in a whole different room.
Yeah. You know what the difference is between New York City and Pennsylvania?
What's that?
I have a 3,500 square foot house that I'm moving into.
I hate it. Whatever. Don't tell me how much your mortgage is going to be. I'll string you up by your toenails and beat you bloody with a bamboo stick.
I bet
you. Not in a kinky way, but like in a really angry way.
Let me tell you something, okay? I bet you my mortgage payment will be less than what you pay a month in rent.
I can almost guarantee it.
That's great.
I pay as much for this apartment every month that my parents pay in the mortgage for their home in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Living the dream.
Yes, it's true. Yeah. If my sink gets clogged, I call a person, you know?
Exactly. Now, do you have a doorman or no?
I do not have a doorman. I do have a super who decorates our hallway for every holiday, even holidays I didn't know were a thing.
Even the Jewish ones?
I don't know. He's from Mexico City, so it's a lot of like Mexican holidays where I was like, what season is it?
Oh,
it's like,
no, yeah. He's not gonna be here much longer.
He loves this building more than he loved any of his wives. Oh, like really? he's the best.
But he's gonna get deported. With Trump as president on Friday. Anyway.
We're both in the same boat. We'll be like, round up, you know, the women who are using their vagina for good, and all the brown people. Let's put them in camps together and see if we can solve this.
Oh, I have given up on this podcast not being marked as explicit.
What? No, vagina is not a cuss word. It's an anatomy lesson. I didn't say pussy or the C word. You know, we can cuss and talk about vagina. I refuse to accept vagina as a cuss word. I refuse.
The seven dirty words. No.
Yeah, is that one of them?
No.
Hold on.
So the C word is.
There you go.
So, oh, it is always a good. I have, you know, usually when I have guests come on, I usually do because I'm a very organized person. I've always been on broadcasting, so I usually have a show notes all written down. When I know you're coming on, I didn't even bother.
Whatever. It's going to be, yeah, you may as well. I mean, you're only going to be disappointed if there was a plan we weren't sticking to. So you may as well just not burden yourself with those unrealistic expectations like staying on topic or not dropping the C word.
Oh, this is great. I can't believe this is how far we've come. Like, this would have never made the radio when I did my show.
But who is calling in at 4 o'clock in the morning and how are you getting them to censor themselves?
You're
how
not.
How are you explaining to the crackhead that they're not allowed to say seven words on the radio?
But first of all, when you're on the radio, you have a dump button so I can dump them if they're a problem, or I can hang up on them. So that was one.
All right.
But the other problem, here's another, some other issues with this that we didn't get into, and you're going to get even more, laugh even more, I think. I'm on at 3 a.m. and I'm like, just the new guy in the block. So I don't even get a call screener. So these people call, they're coming directly to my switchboard.
Now you know what it feels like to be a woman that just exists in public. There's no screener. There's just people just open their dumb mouths and say whatever they want to you. We don't have a dump button.
Yeah, it was, you know, believe it or not, believe it or not, calls in like 3, 4, 5 in the morning and I'm being serious, you know who called it? What?
Truckers? Is it truckers? Truckers.
You get truckers, or believe it or not, people that have too much time on their hands to talk about politics. You're not as many drunk people as you think. You're not as many drunk as
because they're busy trying to bone something. Like, they're, you know, like, no one's calling into a radio show at 3 a.m. after 6 shots of whiskey. Like, no one's like, oh, you know, I should let this dude know how terrible my night is. You're either commiserating with your dude friends, or you succeeded at boning something. Like, no one's calling a radio show. You might be hammered, and I hope that you were. But yeah, it's gotta be like weird, like late shifters, right? Like overnight, you know, you're getting some weird like graveyard shift security dude's thoughts on Medicaid, and you know, truckers talking about whatever it is that truckers talk about. I don't know.
Well, I was also I was on three. Well, the company I was working for had 3 stations, so I was on FM, AM, and shortwave. So you can only imagine the people. I used to get people call in if they just saw a UFO. I used to get all kinds of weird call. Oh my god, it was.
Stop doing meth.
Yo, let me tell you, it was to the point where I was like, I remember, like, here I am, like a guy who just got a college. You know, I've got a degree in, you know, computers and information systems and radio equipment. Parents, and I'm
supporting
like,
supporting your dreams.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking to myself, all right,
snowflake of a person.
You know, I'm thinking to myself, all right, you know, you're right out of college. Like, all right, I can't believe I landed a gig on the air right out of college. It's like every guy's dream.
I'm killing it.
I'm killing it. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, why am I here? Like, I remember, like, one point, just like one guy called in, he starts quoting doctrine from like some kind of book from the I'm just banging my head on
the Bible. Mic. Are you talking about the Bible?
No, he was some quoting like laws from some real doctrine from like the Library of Congress that I've never even heard of. He starts like reading it, like reading it, like.
And this is like before Google, so you know he had to buy that book.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there just banging my head off the microphone, and I'm like, why? I remember like just saying, like, coming home at like in the morning, I was still with my parents. I remember just like falling on the couch, and I might say, like, why am I doing this?
Living the dream.
Yeah.
You're getting your voice out there. You're being heard by the people.
Yeah, all five of them.
Have any of your followers followed you to your new podcast? Do you have any people that like you were huge fans of your 3 a.m. radio show that have sought you out as a young voice of a generation? Like, one of you?
That would have been awesome, but no, unfortunately. I would have loved that. Oh, that was the funny part was too. It was like, the station hadn't really updated their format either. So it was the, so it's like, I get, well, no, I guess it was,
wait, you're going phones. Straight from like weird UFO sightings to like the songs you're required to play.
Pretty much.
All right, moving on. Anyway,
we'll be right back.
Alien invasion. Here's a love song.
Well, no, it was top 20, so it wasn't too bad. But it was, and first of all,
top 20. All right. I don't. I mean, back in with, well, what first, with the 70s? When were you on air? How old are you?
I'm actually probably older than you. I'm 32, 31.
Yes, you are slightly older than me.
What?
You're
I'm way older than you.
Way older? I'm a 30-year-old adult woman.
Oh, really?
I'm an adult lady.
You got that baby face going on.
Yes, I take excellent care of my skin.
Well, that's
it's all aloe vera and be nocturnal.
Yeah, I use Eva Longoria shampoo. No, I'm just kidding. Mm. However, though, I do live with two women, so I am well versed in aloe and makeup brands and all that.
What is aloe? Yeah. Pop quiz.
No, we're not going there. This is not 3 a.m.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you're so well versed. You do know that it is a thing.
Yeah. All I know is like, I literally like washed my hair one time and my wife walks in and she's like, "You're using my shampoo. I smell it." Like, huh? Like, I smell it. I'm like, mm-hmm. How do you know it's shampoo? She's like, "No, it's not. It's a special shampoo." I'm like, "Oh God, forget it. I won't use your shampoo." It's the whole thing. You have to sit down.
Your wife is naturally bald. All right. All of it is just, we've been using a kind of like woman witchcraft to cobble together some semblance of, you know, something sexually attractive. And that's what all of the products are. And if you take them away from us, we turn into the hags that we are deep in the inside.
That's very enlightening. So,
you're welcome.
But yeah, like I said, it's very interesting. So since the last time you were on, which was quite a while ago, actually.
Yeah.
But the so you were doing the last time you were doing Contagious, you were doing the one woman show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, stuff. You used the C word.
No, I didn't. I said it was Contagious.
Contagious. Yeah.
The one woman show. You were doing the you were doing your own podcast still at that time.
Yes. So yeah, the Contagious, we sold out New York Fringe and United Solo here. And then I'm rewriting it and I hope to put like a national tour together later in the year. But we're focused on the Kate comedy tour right now.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. But the one woman show, it was really, really fun. We got a lot of great press out of New York Fringe and the United Solo, and it was a little bit of a hit here. I'm real proud of it. It's good.
That's the thing when you're doing this kind of stuff, you know, that's, you know, you want an audience. That's what you want. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's the, what is the, you know, the best compliment you can get is somebody saying they liked your work. I mean, that's, yep. you know, so you were doing that.
I liked your work. I want more of it. Yeah.
Yep. So I guess, now you still run the, obviously, cause you're doing a comedy tour, but obviously you're still running, doing stand up and all that kind of stuff. Still, you're in New York, which is like the heart of comedy clubs.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. So it's, you know, a lot of shows every night. I just started writing for Vice, and I just started an advice column, which should be coming up next week with Banter Girl. So I'm doing a lot of writing and performing and, you know, showering in my kitchen. It's a busy day.
Yeah, well, I love Vice. I've had that magazine forever.
They're great. Yeah, they're a fantastic publication and media company. Yeah.
Now, were you a fan of Vice before you met Gavin or no?
No.
Oh, really?
Because
that was it. That magazine was the Voice of Canada. And then when mm-hmm. we moved to America, it became Vice. So, yeah, that was that's interesting. So you got a lot going on. And you're in New York, which is like I said, the heart of comedy down there, man.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I love like, you know, smoking pot with my heroes. It's a huge thrill still. It's great, you know. I'm living the dream. 15-year-old me would be so proud of me right now.
Well, it's going to be legal eventually.
It's probably we're looking at like half the states right now that have either medical marijuana or recreational.
We just got medical in Pennsylvania.
It's got to be difficult, I feel like, as a police officer right now to continue to arrest like kids for pot. It's hard to make the argument where it's like, I'm gonna help you straighten up by arresting you for this thing that if you were just 200 miles that way would be fine. Like, it's just, it feels like a dumb, right? Like, how do you convince yourself that you're on the side of good, giving somebody a record for something that's legal, like most other places?
Well, the other thing I think is interesting too, talking about, like you said, it's going to be legal eventually everywhere, but I read the New York Post every day because, you know, I'm pretty political. I like to talk about politics. I'm sure you read my tweets, which are interesting at times. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how a city with the strictest gun laws in the world, in the country, has so many shootings every day.
Yeah, it's a weird puzzle. My dad tried to send me home with a gun recently. We just buried my aunt and uncle and drove cross country. So we spent like 3 days in the car together. And he, you know, he bought me a gun years ago. I have a right to carry and conceal in North Carolina. I like guns. I grew up with guns. But he keeps trying to give me a gun. And I keep saying, like, Dad, even if I shot a stranger in the middle of breaking into my apartment, I'm still doing a mandatory minimum federal sentence for just having an illegal gun. Unless you want to spend, like, what is it, $3,000 or something to get me licensed up here? And then what? Then I'll be a monster. Then it'll be like, give me a cigarette. It's like, I don't want to become that person.
That's great.
Yeah. You owe me a free cup of coffee. I said no whole milk. I don't know.
So speaking of things you've been up to, are you still doing the podcast?
Actually, you know what? I wouldn't intimidate my barista or bum cigarettes from people. I would just wave it at tourists when they stop at the top of stairs and escalators. I would become, and which would make me like an American hero, I think. Just like, yeah, like waving my, shooing tourists out of like high traffic areas would be how I spend every day.
So let me ask you a question. Are you still doing the podcast thing still or no?
No, I put that away, the American Monsters, and then like Dan St. Germain is starting a podcast called American Monsters. And he was like, are you cool with this? I was like, yeah, I missed my window. So look for Dan St. Germain's amazing podcast called American Monsters. Not at all related to what I was doing. And I'll come up with something. It's a matter of time. Like, I feel like I still get tweets. I know people want a podcast, but I had to do the one woman show, and now I'm doing this comedy tour, and I tend to be like a one project at a time.
Well, you got,
it's like project. Once the podcast gets up and running, I'm happy to like continue it, but to get it up and running, takes a minute.
Well, the other thing is too, you have to do what makes money too. I mean, that's what the other thing.
Right. Yeah. So I needed to do the live theater shows, but you know, I want to build an audience. I feel like I've got things to say, you know, right now I'm doing that through the writing. So we'll see.
Yeah, if you've ever listened to my show, I always got plenty to say.
Yep.
But so, like I said, some of the things that's changed since, you know, you were on last time, obviously we have our own studio now. We're working out of our own studio. We're doing a lot of different, obviously not today.
It's not the chaos that's behind you, right? You have like a different studio. Okay,
nope,
great.
Nope. No, we have a different studio. No, this is my house that is currently in shambles.
Got it.
In the process of moving. But no, we have... we have our own studio now. We've got our own podcast network going. Electronic Media Collective, which is my friend's network, has really grown over the last couple of years. He's got like 30 or 40, I think he's got 20 or 30 shows on there now, which
that's
is
great. Yeah,
it's really grew. Those guys over at Electronic Media Collective, they've done a great job on their show. Like I said, we've got a couple shows on our, no, I don't see we have a network because we don't. We have our website puts out a couple different shows. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing a lot of media advertising, doing a lot of YouTube stuff, a lot of video editing, audio editing stuff. So it's been pretty busy. Things have definitely picked up. So that's a good thing,
cool.
Especially in this
Congrats.
Crazy economy. Yes, thank you. Well, you know, I mean, you're doing the comedy thing. I enjoy doing this stuff. So you know, just different. Sometimes people just go different paths in life.
That's what makes it,
you know, world going around. So speaking of doing you are doing the whole thing up in Philly and all that. You're gonna try to if you can get the tickets sold.
Yeah, we're over halfway there. So like I think it's definitely happening. It's just a matter of time. And like there's a $25 ticket and there's a $10 ticket. Like I don't care which one you buy. You know, like the $25 ticket gets us there faster, but I just want people to come see the show. So whether you buy a $10 ticket or a $25 ticket, I don't care.
See, I think I should get a t-shirt just on pure merit for having you on and
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think I should at least get the t-shirt.
Okay. All right. I'll hold the ticket for you. Yeah. I'll hold a t-shirt for you. And when you show up to the show, I'll give you a t-shirt. What is that? That's a woman's small? Perfect. I'll reserve.
A woman's small? No, like double X. No, the woman's okay. small. I sit behind a desk all day. You think I'm wearing a woman's small? Come on now. I am, you know, I am petite, but you know.
Yes. You just look so small on my screen.
Yeah, well, because I'm sitting behind a desk. You know, the desk makes you look thinner.
Oh, yeah. It's a little TV secret.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I should be wearing black because it makes you look slimmer.
Yeah, big hair, girdles, the whole thing.
That's right. So speaking of, since you are in the heart of New York, how have things been this week with the current situation, state of the country?
Oh, you mean like the traffic jam that is the Trump Tower?
Yes. Yes, that's what I was going to.
This might be the whitest girl. I was getting my hair lasered in the 50s or something. And like, I got out of the subway and I was rerouted. It's a traffic jam. And there's nothing that upsets New Yorkers more than to be mildly inconvenienced on our commute. So like, it's been a real cluster, not F word, around that area it's a nightmare. You know, I know a lot of people in comedy, especially because comics, as a subculture, we've always existed on the fringe. You know, our profit margins are low. A lot of us are in sort of like tenuous situations with healthcare and housing and like not having a savings account, and then also publicly saying unpopular things. So that's a weird combination when you're looking at something that might be an authoritarian state. Like, it's just a weird position to sort of be in, where you're like, oh, my smartphone records everything I say and I have no money. Oh, I would be so easy to make disappear. Like, it's, you know, we're all one healthcare emergency away from giving up on our dreams forever. So, you know, it's weird. It feels weird. But I don't know what happens next, and we will see, and we will be commenting on it, and hopefully we can hold on to our freedom to continue to comment on it. Because I believe on a spectrum of freedoms, freedom of speech is the most important and the most difficult to protect.
But you know, I have to tell you and not that I want to get into a big political debate, because I'm watching the viewership.
You keep saying that you don't want, is the viewership.
I'm watching the live stream viewing going. So I'm trying to.
So I'm trying to
dodge it. But when it comes to free speech with our current president, with what he says, I don't think the First Amendment's in any trouble.
Except that he keeps publicly attacking people that criticize him. And like, that's fine if you're, you know, doing like a podcast wars or radio wars or whatever. But when you have the might of the largest military and like what some people would call a police state, you know, targeting individuals that say things that you disagree with, it's a dangerous precedent. That's all, you know, it's a difference in scale.
The economy will be booming because we'll all be working, building the wall. All the comedians during the week.
We're turning all of the Sears. Sears is going to go out of business, and we're going to just turn that real estate into factories. You wanted your manufacturing jobs back. They're coming back. We're all going to make $6 an hour making toxic metal pins to sell to the Chinese. It's going to be great.
I'm telling you, it's, you know, car industry's coming back. We're going to start making Detroit metal again. You're gonna say it's gonna be a process.
All right, I'm 30. I expect to make it to 60. We've got plenty of time to see how this
you're plan. Hit your midlife crisis.
Here's the thing. This is my new retirement plan, is just to not have children and then to commit suicide the year that I become incontinent. That's like my new financially stable plan. Is I'm just gonna like eke out a living here in New York, and then the year that I start pissing myself, I'll fly back home to North Carolina and use that gun my dad bought to shoot myself in the head. That's my plan.
Oh, and here my little plan was to build, you know, a nice big studio and my nice big home and And you're like, my plan is to just go till I'm sick.
Just to survive until I don't like it anymore and then give up.
I said the other day on a podcast, somebody went hysterical. They say, they're like, why do you do this? I said, because let's be real, one thing. If I wasn't talking to this microphone, complaining about the world, complaining about my life, complaining about technology, complaining about everything else, I'd have to spend a fortune on drinks.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I like to drink.
Or have extremely spicy food. See, folks, when the podcast started, Caitlin was literally sprinting home from a gig she just did.
It's true.
I'm sorry, what's the name of the place again?
Oh, the Village Lantern. And they just got shut down for a fire code violation. The downstairs theater got shut down for a fire code violation. So they moved us upstairs to the bar where people were really confused why comedy was happening.
Yeah, it's another funny story. A friend of mine, he does comedy. And we were joking. He got a gig in Atlantic City. So I said, well, where are you playing in Atlantic City? He goes, well, I'm down there the same night Jay Leno's there. So I'm going to probably be in the mop closet while he's selling out the closet.
Oh, that is fantastic.
I said to him, I said, why would you book yourself down there the exact same night that Jay Leno was there?
Look, the Pink Collar Comedy Tour, which is what it was before we called ourselves the Cake Comedy Tour, booked a gig in New Orleans on Mardi Gras on accident. Like, you don't consider all the things when you're making these plans. We also booked a Buffalo to Toronto tour in the middle of February during Snowmageddon. We've all made road mistakes, Brandon. Live shows are hard.
That's something I do want to ask you because like a friend of mine who's in the comedy business, Joel, you can find, by the way, some of his old shows, not you, but just even the audience in general. If you're interested in any of Joel's comics or anything like that,
looking up his stuff.
Well, no, but I'm letting my audience know if you're interested in Joel, because I talked about him a lot.
Oh, yeah, you can
go back to past episodes and you can find all the interviews he's done with us. But my question to you is, you know, he's not doing as much comedy as he was. He's managing now, stuff like that. You do all that yourself. You don't have a manager or an agent or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't have a manager or an agent. I'm just doing it.
Yeah, you know, and that's got its goods and its bads too. You know,
the real problem is like, you know, we've got this entrepreneurial spirit in this country, which is fantastic. But I think one of the things it fails to account for is that you can be really amazing at one thing, like stand-up comedy. And if you are terrible at the other elements of this job, like reading a map or keeping a schedule or self-promotion or podcast engineering or the other kinds of skills that make up a comedy career, you might not be able to do it. Like the reason that those support networks exist, the reason that you need a manager isn't because you can't do it yourself. It's because somebody else is genuinely better at it.
And I'll tell you though, just from the experience, I'm not knocking you or anything like that. I'm just bringing up fact because that's what we do. We make conversation on the show.
Sure.
One of the things I do know, because when my dad had his production, his promotion business, it sometimes can be hard as an independent. He didn't do comics, but mostly music and bands and stuff like that. It can be hard as an artist to get your foot into a place, because a lot of times these club owners are in the pockets of the promoters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which makes sense because they're the driving force behind the money.
Yeah. Now,
until the second they're not. And that's what's so cool about this like Kickstarter campaign is that like, instead of me going to a venue and being like, we're so funny, I promise, which is true. Like we've got, you know, we've been touring for years and like, we're all well-established comedians. But instead of trying to fight that fight and do like a 50-50 door split where like they might tweet about us and call it promotion and then we show up and we're like, what happened? And they're like, oh, well, you guys didn't promote the show. We're doing all of the promotion in advance, so we can just walk to a venue and be like, we've already sold, you know, 100 tickets. We'll take this night, you get, you know, this percentage. And it's just it's a difference in power. And it's more power to the artist if you're buying tickets in advance. So I can say, I'm bringing this amount of audience, already sold, already done, instead of asking someone to take a risk, which it's always hard to do that.
I'm not saying no to you. My one of the guys is in charge of he helps us out in the studio. So that he just typed me a message and said, you haven't done a read ad yet. And I said, I was just shaking my head saying, I'm not going to. it was funny. Just so he said, he goes, you haven't done a read ad yet, or half hour. And I said, I'm not worried about it.
No, you're just going to, like, you know, screw the man or the read advertise. What are you advertising? What's the script? Let's break this down. What's the script on your read ad that you have to do?
Well, this show would be an Audible ad.
Oh, okay.
But, and if you don't know what Audible is, do you know what it is?
I don't.
Yeah. Audible is a book on tape service where you can get tons of audiobooks right through your headphones. You can use it on any iPhone, Android, or iPad app. They also have web app and also listening on the Amazon Echo now.
You're welcome for cueing that ad.
You can get all this through Audible. If you go to audible.com/techgeek, TECKGEEK, you can go ahead and get two free books from free. You use the code. You download them. You don't want to keep the service, you cancel it. You still get to keep the two books, and we still get the credit for the sale. Again, that's audible.com/techgeek for all your audio book listening needs. There you go. Caitlin?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I tuned out because of the commercial.
See, that's why I wasn't doing a commercial.
Okay. You were doing an Audible ad.
That's right.
It's different from a commercial.
Well, if this was FM radio, or AM radio, like I used to do, we would have had about 20 of them already.
No, I get it. This is much better, and you got to pay the bills. And I'm so excited about your new big house.
Yeah, the reason why we're getting the big house is because we're trying to get away from this 45-minute commute for me to the studio.
I thought the reason that you were trying to build a bigger house is because you're trying to have a baby.
Well, we are, but it's also closer to work too.
Okay.
There's a lot of reasons. It's more than one.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, house. Of course.
Yes. And when we have her, her name will be Caitlin.
Aw, how are you going to spell it?
The right way.
Yes, C-A-I-T-L, whatever, traditional. Yeah. Can't recommend the shower being in the kitchen enough, though. When you're looking at your new home, I would really suggest trying to have at least one shower in the kitchen, because it can save time. You got that early commute, you know, you're going to have a school-aged kid. You can be yelling at them while making pancakes. It's going to be perfect.
Well, one, I already have a school-aged child. Oh. And two, I'll get right on that once I move the jacuzzi, walk-in shower.
I hate you so much.
And then too, while with the double vanity, while my wife and I are both, you know, getting ready in the morning, and then the full downstairs bathroom.
All I'm hearing is about surfaces that you have to clean. That's it. So many surfaces.
Yeah, you know, and of course, let's not forget the laundry chute for the washer dryer that my wife.
Oh my God, you guys
had.
Are still doing your own laundry? That's so pedestrian of you. I have it sent out.
Well, where are you going to put the washer dryer in your apartment?
Exactly.
Well, you know, and I have to say this, and I'm not all joking aside.
Yeah, of course.
My wife and I, we're not ones to really go and travel, so we're really excited about having a nice, bigger home closer to work and so that.
Yeah, to lure your friends and relatives too. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't really go a lot of places, so it's, and I work a lot, so it's nice to be close to the studio. We have 5 bedrooms. We have one child. I'm really hoping we're not going to do anything else with the rest of those bedrooms. Maybe one. We've got 5 bedrooms.
Why?
Because
this is. Are you trying to create a kind of indentured servitude with vacuuming? Like what? That just sounds like a nightmare to me.
Well, the one bedroom is ours. The one bedroom is my daughter's, and then the one bedroom is going to be my
office. For the baby that doesn't exist yet. And then you've got the studio, right?
So no, the studio's at my office.
Have you thought about maybe not having an office and instead just building a studio in one of your bedrooms?
Well, now you're going to forces out beyond my control, which is
okay.
The missus
doesn't want your studio in the house because of all the cocaine.
What's the problem? No, here? it's called the workers that are go in and out of the studio all day. My wife doesn't want that much traffic in the house.
Got it. Because of the vacuuming problem. I understand. I'm on your wife's team.
Yes. I know you. How could you be on my wife's team? You're not married.
You're right. I'm not married.
So you just have a boyfriend now.
I do. I have a boyfriend now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
When's the big date?
We're not doing that. we're not on the marriage trajectory. I hope he understands that.
If he's the handful of viewers that are watching.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the handful of viewers. No, he's great. We've been dating for about 6 months. He made me come super hard, so now we're eating a lot together. It's weird. I can say that, but I just can't say an F word.
Exactly. Well, hey, I don't make the rules. I don't own. If I owned iTunes and YouTube, I would not be sitting here right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be having a party on my yacht. My wife, my daughter, you, and your 6 month boyfriend.
Yeah, my 6 month boyfriend. He's great. He's really fun. He's very funny.
Now, is he a comedian too?
He is. Victor Varnado. He's also a director, producer, animator. He's got a lot of. He's just really, really talented, and he knows how all the machines work. He's upset with me right now because he thinks that I need to use a Google Calendar instead of my physical calendar that I write all of my dates in.
Oh my God, who uses a physical calendar anymore?
I do. I use a physical calendar. I love it. And you can pry it out of my cold, dead hands. But he wants me to use technology more. And I want to use technology less because I find it all exhausting.
But wait, time out though.
Sure.
If he's good in bed, don't you think you should give him that one thing?
The Google Calendar? I'm giving him my pussy. I don't need to give him access to my Google Calendar. That doesn't. Oh, wait, is that allowed? I don't know. You seem so exasperated with me and my dumb refusal to understand the rules.
It's not really a rule. It's more of like a guideline.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. No rules. Got it. I understand.
No. Oh, God, no rules. That'd be bad. Because I know you. I know you're holding back, and I'm afraid when the...
I bet I can get your listenership up. I'll strip. Watch me do it.
Oh, you did.
I'm not above it.
Now, if you started that, that'd be insane. And
what if
my
I did
wife-
it while talking nonsense about Trump? It was just like, tits out. Nonsense about Trump. You think that would even out the listener?
My wife would walk in and be like, "What are you doing? I'm podcasting." And she'd be like, "That's not give up.
That's not podcasting. This is porn." It's like, look, it's a real thin, porous line, all right, between podcasts and porn. We're experimenting with a new model. It's all very artistic. Look, she lives in the West Village, man. I don't know what to tell you. They're doing weird artsy stuff there with their tits.
Are you like Amanda Palmer? Do you whip them out after a show and have people sign them?
No, I have done the naked show, but I didn't let anyone sign my tits.
Which she does it.
I also did a show in, I believe, Toronto with Aaron Berg, and there was a bachelorette party there, and I kept my clothes on for the show, but I let one of the bachelorettes sign my tits. So yeah, no, I've hit bottom. That was it. Thank you for bringing up that terrible and painful memory.
I'm just trying to show you. I mean, comedy's great, but it's got its ups and downs, just like anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I just know that I can fall back on sex work. That's fine, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of it in Trump's America.
You grab him right in that. Never mind. See, I've got. I can go. I got Trump jokes too, But I'm trying. He can't be worse than Obama.
For who?
Well, for anybody who's not a white male.
I mean, part of it was, going from being 22 to 30. I'm better off than I was when Obama came in. But, you know, I'm also not a 22-year-old drunken college student anymore. So, you know, who knows?
Yes, you went to college and now you're a stand-up comic. Parents must be so proud.
Yeah, but I'm a stand-up comic with health insurance. What? That's like I'm a miracle worker. You understand? It was a miracle that happened.
Once they repeal Obamacare, you won't have it anymore.
I won't have health insurance anymore. I'm staring at my 40s without health insurance. I think I can do my 30s without health insurance. Honestly, I'm pretty confident.
You're in New York. We're just like one trip to the gynecologist will set you back. I mean, you're in New York. I mean, you know, I mean, animals have better health care than people.
It's true. Well, animals have always had better health care than people because the animal kingdom is not going to hook you up to a machine and then torture you in your last days. So that's not how we do. That's not how we do it.
I still can't get over though. I mean, I get you're in New York and all that kind of stuff, but I cannot get over the fact how every time I'm in New York, how much money it costs me to be there for the day. Like, how do you live?
No,
there?
It's madness. I'm hemorrhaging money every single day. And people are like, you should be saving for retirement. I'm like, no, I've already committed to a suicide in my old age. So I'm fine. Like, I'm fine.
Geez, you'll be needing to borrow one of those bedrooms in my huge house just to be able to live.
Just to have a warm, safe, dry place to sleep after I've alienated everyone else in my life. Keep in mind, we're recording this, all right? You offered. Things go real wrong for me. I've alienated my whole family and everyone I've ever met. I'm moving in.
You wouldn't survive 1 week in Pennsylvania.
That's not
going
true.
From New York City.
I know how to make omelets. What else do you need?
By that time, I won't need a nanny because my kids will be all grown.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to need a nanny. I'll just come and antagonize your teenagers. Come and roast your children for you over coffee and rum.
Oh man, you're not on the short list of people to come take care of my children. That's for sure.
Yeah, don't do it. It'd be the kind of Disney movie where if it wasn't a comedy, a lot of people would die.
So speaking of comedy,
yes.
Let's go back to that before, because this seems to be going very dirty very quickly. That movie that came out with Seth, it's not Seth Rogen.
Myers?
No, was it Seth Rogen? The Sausage Party.
Sure.
Do you know that I was standing in line to take my daughter to a children's movie,
mm-hmm.
and there were parents in line to take their kids to that movie. I'm like, you know, that's like an R movie, right? Yeah, but it's animated. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Adult Swim is animated. Actually, you know what? I went through a single dad phase after my last breakup. And so I was dating all of these dudes with like toddlers and nonsense in their life. In fact, I think I still have some 10-year-old's socks from some dude. Anyway, I went through like a single dad
that
phase.
That just went very uncomfortable.
Why? I needed socks. They fit me better than this dude's gargantuan feet. It's like, what? I'm not going to be denied socks. I used to get paid for sex. You can't deny me socks. I'm taking whatever I want on the way out of your house. It's probably going to be a sweatshirt, but you know, like whatever. So anyway, I went through the single dad phase and I got to say that I really respected and admired this one guy who would sit around with his kid and they would watch Adult Swim. I mean, his kid is pre-verbal. He's like 2.5. He's not even in preschool yet. He's like 2.5 years old, but he's watching cartoons with his father that his father genuinely loves watching. And the kid just enjoys spending time with his dad doing something that he enjoys doing. Like, I think, honestly, if the kid's young enough, the real jokes are going to go over their head. And if they're not, I ended up weird, you know, like I'm a horror comic that lives in the West Village that might not be the path that you want for your children. But the rule growing up was if I could read it, I could consume anything. So like there was no censorship in my house. My parents exposed me to all kinds of like ideas and movies and on all sorts of stuff. We would just talk about it, you know? And I don't know. There's no part of me that is judging a parent for taking their kid to see Sausage Party. There's like no part of my body is all, yeah, take their kids away from them and force them to, watch Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, I don't know.
Shared
experiences with children are positive.
Well, I mean, I have no problem taking my daughter to PG-13. Like we took her to see Suicide Squad in theaters and stuff like that. I don't think I have pro much.
The word suicide in it. I know nothing about any of these films.
It's a comic book movie.
I mean, so was Sin City.
Yeah, well, but that was a little different, though. That was R. No, Lynn, I'll tell you the truth. Being a parent of a 9-year-old, the R I won't take her to, and I'll tell you why, because R,
you know, she has all the porn on the internet, right? Like that, it just, she's got access to all the porn. All of
right,
it.
But there's a difference though, because at home we monitor all that and we block it and all that kind of stuff. But you're on the Technology Geek Show. You don't think I know how to do that?
All right, okay, fine. I don't know how to do any of that. I would be helpless against any of my children if they could.
And I want to bring that up because that brings up a very important topic, and that's a big problem right now in society. The kids do know more than the parents.
Yes.
And that's exactly part of the problem. You listen
it's
to my
part
other
of the problem, and it's also always been true.
Right. But let me backpedal a little bit on that, because there was an article the other day on the news that we had commented on the show, and somebody called into the show and said, I have a problem with my child, accessing inappropriate content, and I want to stop them, but I don't know how.
Yes.
And that's a big problem, because the kids know more than the parents now, so the kids have access to stuff that don't know how to handle it.
Not only do the children know more than the parents, but they're also highly motivated. It's like the reason that parents lose fights to toddlers over gummy bears is because the toddler cares way more about those gummy bears than the parent does. So when you're talking about an older child, their worlds are so small, and like you have grown-up stuff to worry about. You have taxes and adult relationships and work colleagues and geopolitics, and the 9-year-old is just like, how do I get to there? And they are willing to invest all of their emotional and intellectual energy and capacity to get there. And I don't, you know, like that's a difficult fight to win.
Well, there's another issue too with this, and I made this a point to bring this up to the parent too, is one, you have nowadays kids have access to do things they didn't do before. Okay. Back then, you know, parents say all the time, well, my kids posted an inappropriate picture on the internet. I wanted to get them to take it down, but it's their Facebook account and I had to go through Facebook. Let me tell you something. Growing up, if I did anything my parents didn't like and they told me to take it down, I said, well, you're not touching it because it's mine. Oh, that would have been just a no-no. You know, and that's a big change, not only in technology, but in culture now too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that, I think it obviously depends on the kid, depends on the sort of individual situation, but I feel like raising your child with a basic sense of like privacy rights, autonomy, and responsibility makes for a better citizen. You know, if there's some part of you that's like, no, you can't infringe on that. Like that's a basic human need. When you're talking about a small person who's developing a sense of self, having things that are theirs and respecting that and thinking of that as sacred, I think is an important part of the developmental process. It used to be diaries, now it's live journals, and there are more consequences to things being on the internet. And so like, yeah. I understand the argument for both sides. I understand why you wouldn't want inappropriate pictures or inappropriate language or inappropriate ideas. Like, God, I believed some crazy stuff at 13 that if I'd been commenting on YouTube videos I'd still be in trouble for. Like, I get it. Your brains they're only half baked. Like the huge decision-making swaths of their brains are not developed. So I understand why you want to mitigate the consequences, but I think that you have to balance that with a, like, we're making a person, and that person is ultimately going to have to make their own choices.
Yeah. And the other thing too, I do want to bring up, because you brought up a very good point with that, and I don't think we were recording at the time, and I want to bring this up, that what you do today as a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old,
yes,
it may affect you in 30 years from now when you go to, you know, when you go to go for a job or something. Like, you know, it's that, like us growing up, we didn't have to worry about that. Now, you know, my children, you don't have any kids, but your yeah, kids
and,
or my
and
kids,
and I won't.
You
know, it looks exhausting.
Yeah, that's another podcast for another day. but you look at, where'd the kids sleep? In the shower?
Right.
The, when you,
I have
look
two
at,
bedrooms, technically. Sort of. I mean, I rent one on Airbnb. All right.
But we didn't have to, like, my, like, what my kid posts today could affect her 20, 30 years from now, especially if she's in political office.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the consequence of that. But the benefit is that the friendships that she's building now with people on the internet might open up opportunities to her that were unfathomable to us a generation ago. So it's like there are pros and cons, and I just don't actually know if we really know what those are. I think we think we know what those are, but I don't really know, you know, like, yes, we've got people who, I think there was a police officer who was fired because he made a racist comment when he was 17, like 6 years before he joined the force or something like that. And there are negative consequences to that. But we're also raising a generation of people that have been living their whole lives out loud forever. So it's very possible that the managers and hiring staff of the future don't care about what it is that you did online when you were 13 or 17. We don't, you don't know. Big cultural shifts like that happen.
Well, and I want to bring this up too, because, and I brought this up because I've made the argument, by the way, on both sides. I've made the argument on both sides, depending on who I'm on the show with.
Yeah, of course.
Prime example of that, ago in the 90s, if you had a tattoo on your arm, sorry, if
yep.
you could see it, you would not get an office job.
You were unhireable. Yeah. You'd opted out of the workforce. And now yeah. we have architects and engineers and web designers that are tatted up, and it doesn't, nobody that walks into a job with that level of competency is not going to get that job because of a tattoo. Like, that's just no longer the world that we live in.
Right, but it took how many years to change that? So, like you're saying, we may possibly have that. We may not. You don't know.
We don't know the future.
However,
I
tend to think if anything, if you go into politics, it will come back to haunt you. And I think that's just the nature of everything with politics.
Maybe. I mean, unless you're Donald Trump, and then nothing haunts you ever. You're immune from all of that. And I think that, like, you. My parents raised me to build and live the life I wanted to live. And if I have children, I probably won't, like, honestly. But, like, I think that big picture issues are more important than the minutiae. And, like, raising somebody who knows that you're on their team and you want to raise them to make good choices based on the things that they value and that they care about, even though those things might be different from what you value and you care about, and building that relationship where they feel like they can be their honest selves around you is important. And I think that creating that kind of antagonism over something where you're like, this might have consequences or it might not, on the list, you just have to decide. You know, look, if she's putting up a picture of her twat at 9 years old, then, you know, getting a bunch of dudes thrown in jail. Yeah, it's a problem. Like, there are consequences that she cannot understand that are beyond her scope that you got to lock down.
And there's tons of stories about not.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are tons of stories about it already on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I had a smartphone at 12 years old, there'd be naked pictures of me all over the internet. That's my personality. Like, at 12 years old, I was taking naked pictures of myself with Polaroids back when the consequences was limited to whoever could get their hands on that physical picture. I understand that impulse. It exists among us.
Well, but right. But nowadays, instead of that having to get distribute, you know, copies of it made and sent around.
Right.
Nowadays, click, post. I mean, that it's really that fast almost.
It really is that fast.
You know,
right.
And that's, you know, that's another, that's part of the change in society. And believe it or not, and I want to point this out too, the society really didn't change like this with this quickness and until the iPhone really came out in 2008.
Yeah, I mean,
it changed that fast.
We're exposed to all kinds of things. You know, we can listen to podcasts, we can read personal essays, like people are telling their stories and getting it out there. And I think we're starting to understand that like people, all people from politicians to popes are deeply flawed, complex, multidimensional people. And it, and that's the, I hope that we get there. I think right now we're sort of stuck in this like labeling and dismiss, like you're a racist or you're a rapist or you're a the bad or you're a, you know, and we're just labeling people and then using that to dismiss them in this like sort of national shaming ritual that we've gotten so good at. But I think that the next step is we really ought to be looking at people more holistically than trying to dismiss them based on like one tweet or one post or one picture out of context from 20 years ago. Like, I don't know. I have kids.
Right, you hear so many stories of it now. You hear of like these 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids taking naked and posting them online. And the guys get in trouble going to look at them, which is a problem. You know, they're a problem in itself looking at that. But then it's also the kids, it's a problem on both sides, not just one.
Yeah, it's it is a problem. And like, you know, technology in the hands of people is going to be messy. We don't operate like machines, you know, we make weird choices based on ancient drives, you know, like that are not necessarily compatible with the technology that we're building. But it's, you know, your daughter's a person, and the impulse to like carve out a space for herself that's hers, that is sacred, predates the internet. It predates all of it, and trying to fight that like deep ancient impulse, I think is a losing battle.
Well, let's talk about the impulse for a minute, because her impulse to carve out a spot on the internet for herself is the same thing as you and me when we were younger, going out into the woods and making our own little treehouse.
We put our little things, and it's ours. And sure, it's filthy and not waterproof and not better than the house, except that it's ours and we built it. Yeah.
Right. And it was our little corner of the world to do whatever we want. And that's the same thing, but just the internet's created a different way, you know, to do that. So that I think it, you know, that's a really good conversation piece. But I do want to point out, though, speaking of carving out a spot on the internet, one of the places you can see the internet is part of our premium program. $19.99, you become a premium member. And for $19.99, you get exclusive content, exclusive podcast, openness to our forums, and many other things at our premium site. And like I said, folks, $19.99 will get you it's a one-time fee, and you are a member of the premium group. You'll get plenty of different things, as well as a copy of my new book when it comes out. You get a digital copy of that as well. And you can find that on thetechnologygeek.org. And again, click on the premium link, and it's $19.99, and that will get you a member of our premium group. And we appreciate you guys joining up, signing up, becoming a premium member, and supporting the show and supporting the site. Sorry, I just got a message that I had to do another
video. I get it. I'm back. Okay, cool. $19.95 for naked pictures of your daughter. Got it. I understand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not so cool.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. There's the line.
There's the line. You just crossed it. So I do want to talk to you though about one other thing though. Quickly, I know you had worked in a political campaign.
Yes, for years.
Yes. Now, I do want to bring this up because I think it is sort of something to bring up to talk about. Whole thing with Trump and the internet. A lot of times you see politicians, they say something online, they have to backpedal, stuff like that. I know you worked on a political campaign. I have never seen a campaign where somebody doesn't have to backpedal.
Yeah,
it's nothing like that. I mean,
it's upsetting. Now, I worked for political action committees. So I worked for issues instead of candidates, but we did do like one candidate campaign, but my focus was really on like institutions as opposed to people, which is, you know, better because you're standing up for ideas that exist outside of the human foibles. But we allow our like our fake characters more complexity than we allow our elected officials. I think it's ludicrous to me that we expect people to be like cardboard cutout, one-dimensional representatives of an idealized world instead of being multidimensional people who are pursuing something that they're passionate about. So I think it's really limited the scope of like who becomes a politician, and then Trump threw the rule book out. So I'm sort of hoping, again, in this like long trajectory kind of way, that moving forward, we allow our elected officials more complexity.
Yeah, and like I said, I know you worked on political campaigns, and I know everybody works so hard to make the, you know, the person look as good as they possibly can look at. So, and he, like you said, he pretty much, he said whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. I don't think he had anybody writing his speeches for him. I don't think he had anybody having pre-planned questions or anything like that. So I think, you know, he really...
I mean, how could you? Like, it's... Like, what would that even... Here's a list of points, Trump. Nah, I don't think so. All right, you know, we tried.
I'll do it the way I want to do it.
A $400,000 a year consultant, he just went, nah.
Yeah, but I think because I'm... And if you can... one thing I do want to say, if you can... You've worked more on the political side, so that I mean, you've seen it, right? I mean, guy, you know, the reporter comes in, they get a pre-list of questions. I've worked in media a little bit, you know, everything is say, here's what you can ask, here's what you can't ask, here's, you know, and it's, you know, people have tried
to do that for me as a comedian. Like, I'll go on a radio show and they're like, what are the off topics? I'm like, are you kidding me? I've slept in a van last night. Like, the world is your oyster. There's no one protecting me.
Right. But this is a different medium than there. But,
yes.
But like I said, you've worked on some of that. And I mean, how do you, even as a report, I mean, I think he threw so many reporters off because there wasn't anything pre-planned. It was all off the cuff.
And also it's very orchestrated. It's both not pre-planned and also highly orchestrated. I mean, looking at like those prop papers that he had lined up, I mean, that's political theater. It's not political theater. You know, so but it's just a different kind. He's coming from like a reality show kind of template as opposed to political discourse, which has a really, really long history. And he's thrown that rule book out the window.
Well, and I do want to point out, too, though, he was a very successful businessman before the reality show. And I think a lot of people forget that.
No, I understand. Like, in terms of media manipulation and that skill set, that's where that was forged, like in tabloids. That's his relationship to the media and has been his entire life. I mean, back when he was like a playboy of the 80s, like he comes from the tabloid world into the reality television world. He sort of like skipped over or dismissed the like institutional journalism, thinking of themselves as like the fourth estate, like the fourth branch of government. Like he's not hearing any of that, which is fine. Like whatever happens next is what happens next.
Well, and I want to bring up just an example of this, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
For example, when John McCain was running against Obama, they asked John McCain a question: what do you think the average American makes a year? And he said, "Oh, every American makes about $150,000 a year. If not, they're poverty stricken." Now that single-handedly almost ruined his campaign when he said that comment. Upset stuff that was 100 times worse, and it just didn't even affect them. If anything, it made his numbers go up. So I don't understand how,
why that happened, or what it was.
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand how it went the other way for him.
Because we started to crave, as a culture, authenticity. And, like, I think that's what happened. And I felt like this was a change election, just like Obama's first election was a change election. And Hillary Clinton was an establishment candidate, and not just an establishment candidate, but she had molded herself her entire career to fit into this sort of like cardboard cutout of person thing that I was talking about, that no human being actually is, you know, sort of like a walking, talking points like regurgitating kind of thing. And
well, I think it's the politics we've all gotten used to over the years.
It was the politics that we all got used to. And Trump was like, he called BS on that. And we were all like, yeah, that's, you're right. That's, it's crazy that we would ask a woman to do this, or we would ask a person to do this.
Well, and I think the other thing too with her is, as great as, you know, I mean, I'm not saying what she hasn't done, but the other problem is too, Trump didn't bring the political baggage that she did either with her husband.
Trump had a lot of political baggage. Trump came with a lot of baggage that he just bulldozed through by offering what I think is sort of like an affectation of authenticity. I think that Donald Trump is really, really good at connecting to the audience in front of him. It's a skill I respect as a comedian, but I don't think that he's actually selling what he's advertising, because he's advertising straight, honest talk. And that's not really what we're getting, but we're getting the impression of that. Does that make sense?
Well, I do. But I do have to say, though, one thing about him, though, is you're talking about this authenticity piece. And I really like where you went with this, because I've thought about it myself, but nobody else ever said it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get the same feeling that you get when he says something. I really believe he said it, like it's not somebody else saying it. And I think that was a big part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. He is speaking from the heart in the moment. But I believe that he's got one of those personalities where he believes what he's saying in the moment, even if what he's saying isn't true. Like it's, you know, you get that impression like you're talking to like a really good salesperson, and like you believe that they believe what they're saying, even if what they're saying isn't true. Does that make sense?
No, it does. Yeah. I mean, the other thing too with him, and I do want to point out too, is he is, when you really look at what he was doing, he ran really more of a bottom up campaign, where she ran more of a top, you know, top down campaign. You know, I know a lot of my friends were Hillary supporters, and a lot of my friends couldn't even get the campaign signs.
Yeah.
You know, they you know, and that wasn't a, you know, and the other thing too, I do want to point out, we were just talking about this culture shift, which is why I'm bringing this up with you right now, because it is a tech show. She did a lot of stuff that was aimed at an older generation. The TV ads.
Yeah, I made this prediction during the primary. I would talk to anyone who would listen to me, in that I believe that Hillary Clinton built a war machine for the last war.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch, the one thing I noticed about Trump, you didn't see many television ads. And basically, Todd, my personal feeling is he didn't need them. He had more than enough press coverage. Okay.
Right.
But the other thing is too, like when you like, and even my mother, who is, you know, she's 62, she's not the most tech savvy. She said to me, and this is how I knew Trump was heading in the right direction of his campaign early. My mother said, you know, I see a lot of Trump things on my Facebook page. I said, yeah, because he pays, that's part of, you can pay to have a promo ad put up on Facebook. And my mom's like, wow, I'm seeing a lot of them for Trump. I don't see many for Hillary though. You know, and the same thing with Twitter. A lot, even like a friend of mine, his dad messes around Twitter. He's in his 50s. He said, he goes, yeah, I keep seeing Trump stuff on Twitter. I said, what do you mean? Like hashtag? No, just, you know, the Trump Pence thing going past my, I said, yeah, they're promo posts. He's like, I see a lot of them. I don't see much of that for Hillary. And I got that from so many people.
Yeah. Is social media the new media? Absolutely.
The other part about this too, which, because I'm going to bring tech into this in a minute. You know, they are saying that the millennial generation is becoming a bigger voting group now. It's becoming, they're not yet, but they're then the baby boomers. The baby boomers are starting to, you know, head out. Yeah. They're flooding for their finals, as we'll say that. And you know what they're saying?
You can't just say that they're going to die. Like, all right, fine. Okay, sure. You're going to die. We're all going to die. I hate to break it to you, listeners.
I know. You know, I hate to say this. None of us are going to get out of this life alive.
Yeah, no, 100% fatality rate.
Yeah, but one of the things, so what I think he did was he was very smart in saying, I'll let her pound away at this aging generation, and I'm going to focus my attention this way.
Yeah, but he didn't win the millennial vote.
But
because we skewed liberal.
But the majority of his voters were white, were younger white males.
I haven't seen the numbers on that. I thought that his voting base was older Americans, that he like won the over like 55 by like a huge margin.
Yeah, I know he won that demographic, that he won that 18 yes. to 30 some white male demographic.
Yeah.
So that okay. was but my point is though, it's he like you said, he used the new media. Where she, you mm-hmm. know, he was doing stuff on like, you know, town halls, on, you know, YouTube Live, like we're doing right now. But she didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
You know, and like what she's, what they say she's made, she's like 200 million on television ads. That's a lot right, of money.
Yeah, because she's afraid of, so like, you know, when you talk about like reality television, it's both unscripted and also highly orchestrated. Trump was great at unscripted, highly orchestrated, and Hillary Clinton is deathly afraid of unscripted. She's just afraid of losing control of the narrative. And so she couldn't, she's not doing live events. She's not going to do a live interview. She's not going to, like, she was afraid. And I think that's what held her back.
Now, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay. But let me ask you a question about live then. We're talking about live stuff.
Sure.
Our viewership's actually going up the more we talk about this.
Weird.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hey, new people.
The debates. Obviously, yep. they were live. People say she won that. He didn't win any of the three debates. Obviously, now it shows he didn't need them. But do you think that she did better in the debates than he did? Now, they were live. That's why I'm asking.
Have you seen the movie Election?
No, I haven't.
Okay. You should watch the movie Election. That's what happened in this election. So it's Reese Witherspoon when she's like 15 years old or something. And she plays Tracy Flick, who is a woman who wants to be class president. That's her goal. She's unabashedly ambitious, and she does everything that she's supposed to do to be president. She bakes all the cupcakes. They're all the right size. Her posters are beautiful. She gets there early. She has all the petitions. But she's just this like robot of a person that is like doing all the things. And then she gets beat, I think, by this like jock who broke his back and was like a huge football star, and then like, maybe I'll run for president. And she's infuriated at him for easily, breezily doing all of the things that she's sweating blood to do, you know? And then his sister, who's a lesbian in the show, it's a great movie. I really love this movie, runs on a campaign of like screw class elections, basically. And I don't remember if it was him or his sister who won. Anyway, it's a great movie, and I think that it breaks down like the difference between the Hillary Clintons of the world and the Donald Trumps of the world, because like Hillary Clinton, I believe, wanted to do good things. I believe that she wanted to help women and poor people and expand medical care, not because she's a socialist that wants to control our lives from the inside, but because she believes that having more people that have access to the medical care that they need makes for a better society. I think that ultimately she believed that she was trying to help create a better society. And then the whole world told her to really, really focus on making symmetrical cupcakes until you shake from the inside. And she was like, look at my symmetrical cupcakes. And we were all like, that's really creepy and weird. Like I feel like that's kind of what happened. Whereas Donald Trump, I don't really know what his goals are. I don't really, but other than to entertain, are you not entertained? I think we're all more engaged than we ever would. If Hillary Clinton won, we would all have tuned out a week ago. Like, yeah, she's got it. She'll do her thing. We're all getting a civics lesson against our will. But he's selling this authenticity, but I don't really know what his motives are. You know, like, whereas I feel like I got her motives, but she lost on authenticity because we told her that in order to win elections, you need symmetrical cupcakes. And she was like, I believe you. I will put all of my energy to making the most symmetrical cupcakes you've ever seen. And then we were all like, we stopped caring about symmetrical cupcakes 10 years ago, you old hag. And then, you know, and now this happened. That's my analysis of what happened with the election.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, I think, well, this, you know, this Friday, obviously he'll be sworn in as the 46th 45th president.
Yeah.
If
Obama had lost, he would have been the 46th.
If Obama had lost, he would have been, that's right.
Yeah, but he's the 45th. Yeah, you have to live in this world and not in your dream world, you delicate, delicate snowflake. That's my favorite new insult, by the way. I know that it's used for liberals like me that don't do their own laundry, but I just love it as an insult. Like, you snowflake. You wouldn't survive in the woods for a second. I mean, neither would I. But
let me ask you, let me say, though, here's the thing. Talk about doing your own laundry, right? You're one person with
why
one
would
laundry.
I do that?
You're one person.
Yeah, why would I do it? Why?
Because
why would I do that?
In your house.
Yeah, I know. I still have other things that I'd rather be doing with my day.
Like one towel.
Well, I run an Airbnb out of my house, so I have lots of sheets and towels. That's part of how I make money.
You run an Airbnb out of your house? Where? There's no room.
Yeah. No. All right. So this is the kitchen. So all right, we're gonna do like a tour of my apartment. Okay. So this is my hallway. Right. So like we're outside in the hall. All right. So you walk in. And this is where I was sitting. So this is my kitchen, shower, bathroom, right? Are we following this?
Following you.
This is my bedroom. This is the supposed to be the living room, but I turned it into my bedroom. I've got my cute stuff there, you know, my calendar, my wardrobe. And then this, right across, is my guest room that I rent out on Airbnb. So this is my...
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right. And then the toilet, in case you were wondering, is in the hallway. You guys want to see that?
Want to see
the hall? All right. This is the key to the toilet that lives in the hall. Honestly, in a space this small, it's actually perfect. I don't think I could run an Airbnb if I had to listen to my guests poop. Like, I don't want to do that. So, you know, you walk down the hall and then your little key here.
Now, is it a group bathroom or is it just yours?
It's just mine. It's just in the hall. So here's the, you know, this little toilet, my little the matches. So, you know, I live. I go out all the time. You know, I meet friends for wine in restaurants instead of inviting them over to my house because I don't have any chairs.
Except the one you were sitting on.
Well, it's a stool. It's not a chair. See? I have these stools.
You know what? The Airbnb is a popular service, though. A lot
it's
of people
fantastic.
Do that in the city.
I love it. And my guests, they have a really different experience than they would if they stayed at a hotel. You know, like, I'm going to tell you where the best place to see comedy and eat food and do all that. I'm not a concierge. I don't have a corporate relationship with the local eatery. You know,
but see, that would be weird to me. Like, say you have your boyfriend over and you're renting it out to Airbnb at the mm-hmm. That'd be just be weird.
Yeah, no, it's definitely weird. You know, we spend a lot of time at Victor's house, and sometimes we try to have like really, really quiet sex, like late at night or during the day. Like when I think my guests, the problem with Airbnb guests is that they're really unpredictable. You don't know what they don't have like jobs, so they like just sort of come and go willy nilly. So yeah, it's been you know, we're working on it. I've had sex in bar bathrooms. Like, there are solutions. I'm not having sex. I'm definitely, there's a lot of sex in my life. It just happens. It's kind of like having your great aunt visit. You know, you want to be like polite, but also it's my house. Like, I'm not going to get in trouble. Like, your great aunt isn't going to get in trouble if she hears you boning. It's just like kind of rude. So I try not to do that.
I was just like thinking to myself, like, wow, if you're boyfriend just hanging out, sitting around, and you know, somebody walks out of the bedroom, goes into the fridge, gets something, you know, there's no privacy, was what I was getting at. But no. Yes,
my guests have a door that they can shut. I don't have a door I can shut. I just have this curtain. No, you see behind me? It's just a curtain that I have across my. that's the big divider. But they have a door that they can shut.
If I had Airbnb in my house, I could all the bedrooms we have, I could just keep. Geez, I'd be a full, rich.
Yeah, but no one wants to visit where you live. That's the difference. I live in the West Village.
I know.
Yeah, see my little cutout, so you can see through that goes up and down.
Yeah, I do. No, yeah. You know what? You know what? Though, in general, those of you that aren't familiar with New York, in general, everything in New York is expensive. It doesn't matter how you have apartments as small in your apartment that are, I'm sure,
yes,
even more expensive. It's ridiculous, actually.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And then when you look at what I think is funny is when you look at like a Trump's they were showed a picture, I guess, of where his son lives. Kid has a whole floor to himself in Trump Tower. I'm yep. like, yeah, like, you know, you would kill for that. So, well, I think we've been on for about 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
I know. Time flies.
Flew by.
When you are having fun, doesn't it?
Yes. You didn't need an agenda. I brought mine.
I didn't even need to. I knew. Well, like there are certain guests that we will have on the show that they will actually say, you know, I want to talk about this, because they have movies mm-hmm. coming out, they have sure. projects that are working out, and they're coming on for free, but they're coming on with the sense of, hey, we're going to talk about,
yeah,
you know, their stuff. And then like when I have like some of the guys on from my other shows, we like to talk about stuff that they're doing, stuff that I'm doing. So it's a little bit different. But in this case, me and you, there's never usually yeah. a problem finding something to talk about. So
we're good. But don't lose sight. Buy tickets to the Kate Comedy Tour. It's gonna be really yep. it's gonna be a really fun show.
One more time, tell everybody where they can find it.
Absolutely. Cakecomedy.com. Everyone loves cake. Get a slice of cake. Bring cake to Philly. Cakecomedy.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and we will see you next week.